Can't wait.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
It was a good game. Both teams play hard.
About their defense. They can't stop a nosebleed.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I got man hits like I was Rod Carew.
Yeah. Can't wait.
What happened offensively in that period?
Turnovers.
What about on the defensive end? They had their most productive quarter. What'd you see there?
Turnovers. Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Not the game that I go out there and die for.
This is grown man B.I.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Relax and take notes.
Hello and welcome to Can't Wait, the only show in Tucson where the hosts are doing push-ups the entire time on the air. Joining us as always, Matt Milner.
25.
Rusty Boulay Stevenson.
Hey there.
And I'm at 1,000 and I'm not even breathing hard.
Wow.
So what we're going to do...
I don't keep it
going. Yeah, who even cares? We are going to talk about fringe sports. Not necessarily fringe. Let me put it this way. It's the end of July. There's not a lot going on at the end of July. Sports writers tend to complain that middle February after the Super Bowl is sports dead zone. That's not true. There's still college basketball. There's still NBA. If you're
Pete Rose.
Yeah, you've always got stuff going on. What do you have happening right now other than regular season baseball? Nothing. So I would start watching like the Pan Am games just to have something on. So what I want to talk about with you guys, what are some of your favorite sports that maybe aren't on TV all the time, but you get really excited when they are? Let's start with you, Matt.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Pan Am games because I have also been watching it, and I think it's pretty fun. But I have not seen any of my favorite Olympic sport. And by favorite, I mean favorite Olympic sport that I would have no interest in or not watch at all other than during the Olympics.
Right.
Which is team handball.
Oh, so good.
Team handball is great.
Team handball is so fun. And it always, because America is terrible at it, it never really gets much primetime love during the Olympics. You have to watch like MSNBC at 3 a.m. to see, you know, the group play matches or whatever.
And it's one of those sports where Americans feel like we would be good at it if our best guys weren't playing football and basketball.
Right. Absolutely. And honestly, it shouldn't be we don't even need our best guys to do it. It's just if you're one of those guys who was like a volleyball or a basketball player in college and you're not quite good enough to, you know, be a pro abroad, just call up the old team handball coach. See if there's a spot on the squad for you, because it really is legitimately a very entertaining sport. It's very fast-paced. For people who haven't watched it before, it's kind of like a combination of like indoor soccer and hockey and basketball. Is the best way I can describe it.
It's its own thing, but elements of each.
Yeah, exactly. Elements of each. And it's got just a lot of fun little conventions. Like I love the goalies, because the ball's coming so fast, and it's a small ball. It's like one of those juggling soccer balls is kind of the best way to describe it. So if you have big hands, you can very easily get a lot of velocity on it and you know, grab it like you'd grab a grapefruit or something.
You can even throw a breaking ball with it if you've got a big enough, if you've got a strong enough arm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they get some spin on it. But if you're a goalie and there's sort of a point-blank shot coming, the ball's moving too fast to actually react to it. So all they do basically is jump around like idiots doing like jumping jacks and like flailing wildly and screaming in the hopes that one of their limbs will happen to strike the ball.
It's like it's even more extreme than a soccer penalty kick where they're just jumping, hoping. But it's like that every single time.
Because it's a smaller goal, so they're not like leaping from side to side on the ground. They're just there's more of a kind of vertical element, kind of like, you know, again, like a hockey goalie who's just trying to like fill space. It's similar principle. But the bottom line is it's a really fun sport. I understand why it doesn't get a lot of love even during the Olympics, just because, again, America historically has not been competitive in any way, shape, or form. I don't think they even qualified a team in the last Olympics, if I recall correctly. But if you find yourself next summer, God, I can't believe it's already next summer. So if you find yourself next summer you know, with nothing to do at around 2:30 in the morning during the Summer Olympics, flip over to CSPN or CNBC2 or, you know, whatever, like, the bottom of the basement channel is.
It'll be on, like, Bravo.
Oh, yeah, Bravo definitely covers
it. Whatever NBC affiliate is, like, sixth on the totem pole as far as their sports coverage,
yeah, exactly.
That's who's running handball.
Yep.
A little fun fact about handball. Mm-hmm. Did you know the U.S. Handball Association Hall of Fame is located in Tucson, Arizona?
Different handball.
Still.
It's true. That is a true point.
Wow. I didn't know this.
Yeah. It's on Tucson Bowl. It's like right by where I used to live.
Yeah. It's like Tucson and Grant, basically. Yeah. And that is true. And it's and like the, you know, the Racquet Club is considered one of the kind of preeminent places for handball. But again, this is for individual handball, which is cool, but
not
different.
Team handball.
Not team handball.
It's bonkers.
That's really cool. Yeah. It is crazy.
Have you ever been?
No, I never have.
Neither have I.
No.
Has anyone ever? How many people in town know that's there?
Not a lot.
So we got to get on that handball train.
That's great. That's a good place for us to go.
That feels like something we could also organize, a weird downtown league. Mm. If we got like 50 people, kind of split them up into teams, that feels like it'd be a lot of fun and people would get really hurt.
Yeah.
Because that ball comes flying and it will take an eye out. And it's still awesome. When you're watching it, when it's at a high level, man, it's incredible.
It is. And the college that I went to, weirdly enough, and I didn't know this when I went, but it's a powerhouse for squash.
Wow.
It's the preeminent squash power in the country. And squash doesn't have different divisions. It's not like Division I, Division II, just because...
the 10 squash teams in America.
Right, exactly. So the schools that play squash are basically all like Ivy League schools and other like New England small, you know, colleges where you would expect people to play squash. So we had the longest undefeated streak in the country for any collegiate sport. we were on like a 13-year undefeated streak, basically.
John Wooden was your coach.
Yeah, exactly. But I would go to the squash matches, and it was really, really fun because it's like handball in a lot of ways, but so fast. That ball moves insanely fast. And all of the players, like the elite squash players, are all foreign. So it would be like watching the Olympics as well, where we have like our dominant Swede up against their South African, and then we'd have like our dominant Indian player up against, you know, their like Spanish player or whatever. So people would be waving flags and
wow.
It's really cool. I don't think there's really any, I don't know if there's anywhere to play squash in Tucson, but you know,
I don't know that I've ever seen squash played.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that's amazing about squash, I only played a couple times because I was so bad at it, and it's unbelievably hard. So you watch it and you think, especially because the ball's moving so fast, okay, this is just like racquetball. Like anybody can just racquetball with a smaller ball. So you get out there, you bang the ball around with your friends. Well, the thing is, the ball itself is dead. It's like an empty piece of rubber. So if you just drop it.
Yeah, it's a little pellet.
Yeah, it's like a pellet. So if you just drop it, it just hits the ground. And in order to heat it, like to get it to bounce, you have to heat it up. So they just hit it against the wall like 100 times. And then it, you know, it gets like hot and it gets denser and you can start like whipping it. But to get enough leverage to like hit the ball, you have to really rocket it. And there's a lot of lunging and bottom line is it's not for the faint of heart, but it is really fun.
Did you ever oversee or overhear any squash recruiting trips at your school? Like when the hot recruit would come in?
I would see them get brought into the dining hall sometimes by the other squash team members, but I was
some hotshot 17-year-old squash prodigy.
Yeah, who's like 6'8", and these guys were really insane athletes, and there were a couple times that we were on Sports Center for it too. So it was an interesting part of college. If you go to a small school, you don't really get to do like the March Madness thing or anything like that. So you got to take what you can
find
get.
Your niche.
Yeah,
that's right.
I remember the University of Wyoming had an incredible club rugby team.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it wasn't school sponsored. They couldn't even give out scholarships. It was just a volunteer thing. You just join and our team was somehow as good as the other schools that recruited. And they would just go to like the Final Four of rugby and kick butt. It was it, so whenever you're at a school that has like a weirdly specific like at the U of A is a dominant softball program.
Yeah.
And that's not something you see at every school. So it's really fun to throw yourself into something that's not a mainstream sport where your school or your town is uniquely good. So Rusty, what's your fringe sport that speaks to you?
That's a fairly good segue to one of mine. I've got a few that I can talk about, but one thing, and it's not that I'm crazy into softball by any means. I haven't been to U of A games. I follow the team. I know how they're doing each year. But my wife and I started a co-ed softball team with our friends who are, you know, kind of artists and musicians and stuff.
These guys weren't picked first at gym during...
No. We were the Bad News Bears of softball. And it was the most fun, and it was something that we were so into and so passionate about when we did it. Our team, we were called High and Outside.
Sure.
It made a lot of sense for us.
And it's on like six different levels.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. But we made it very obvious by all being number 420 on our back. but also, we played softball and we were so bad. I mean, we had people who didn't know the rules, right? So we had a girl who she hit a double finally. She was so happy. She starts strutting around second base. And she's kind of a vixen and could do that, you know. But I mean, she's strutting around second base. She's way off second base at this point with her double. She gets tagged out.
Sure.
We constantly hit pop flies and, you know, would run. And that was something our team always forgot. I mean, we were terrible. We only won one game out of, I think it was 30-some games. We won a game.
Hey, you got one.
We did.
It was a forfeit.
The other team's best players weren't there. But we mobbed the pitcher. I mean, like, we had won the World Series. The one thing we were good at, and the refs all said, or the umps all said so, they were all like, you guys lead the league in cheering. Like, you guys have more fun than any team out here by a wide margin.
And what's the only thing worth winning at that level of softball?
Rec league beer softball. Yeah. No, it was all about having a good time. So we were really passionate about that for a while. We did it for a while. We had our jerseys. We had everything. It was really great and a lot of fun. As far as like the Pan Am game stuff, I really like to watch water polo.
Oh,
it's awesome.
You know, it's really great. And those guys are such athletes.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anything more physically demanding than trying to tread water that entire time and still function
and
in
still be able to throw a ball with your arm outside of the water. No, it's difficult. It's very hard to imagine doing that all the time. I love watching it, though, just for the sheer athleticism.
It benefits a lot now from more modern like camera techniques, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you can like kind of see what's going on under the water, because if you're just seeing the surface, you see a lot of splashing and it's sometimes
and
hard
like
to tell what's going on.
Perfectly still torsos.
Right.
And it's just like kind of, you know, undulating water. And you're just like, oh, it's this okay, it's water polo. And then they cut to underneath and it's just this, it's almost like a shark attack.
People have knives. They're like pulling on places you're not supposed to pull.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a crazy sport to watch. And it does really benefit from modern camera work and just nice cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, I also really like volleyball, obviously.
Yeah.
Volleyball is very, very entertaining. Now, I don't go as much for the beach volleyball. It's good. But I like the six-person team volleyball. I really get into that.
Yeah.
Very easy to watch.
Especially because you can, like, there's a lot of, if our, could you ever do that thing in your head where you're like, what would happen if Team USA basketball just joined the volleyball tournament, you know, without any background?
Yes.
I mean, you would obviously they wouldn't win, but just to see them be 7 feet tall and jump that high to do volleyball things would be fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the guys, like Chase Budinger, when he was here at the U of A, you know, obviously very good basketball player, but if basketball didn't work out, he could have played Olympic volleyball. Mm-hmm. He was that level of volleyball player. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the same things that appeal to us about basketball make sense in volleyball.
It's true. It's true. It is a lot of the same things. The height, the jumping, it's got a poetry about it like we talk about with basketball.
A rhythm.
And a rhythm that's really nice. I got one more that I'm going to throw out. Not really a sport, but I've been super competitive about it, and my wife likes to make fun of me for it, is Scrabble. I get kind of crazy about Scrabble, and I used to keep a notebook with the games and the scores and everything. That was when I was younger and wasn't making as good a decision. But it caused, I mean, near fights with friends because I wouldn't allow the word zoot. But zoot suit is a compound word that's not one word. It's two words. And so zoot doesn't work as a word. He didn't like that. It was a terrible fight with between a friend because I was just
former friend.
An absolute former friend. I haven't seen him since. We were roommates at the time, but he moved out. And no, he's a good friend.
Did you ever see the documentary Word Wars?
I haven't seen that yet. I really haven't.
That would appeal to your interests because that is insane. Yeah. Those people are crazy.
It's about competitive water polo Scrabble.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you have to. Right up the board is floating in the middle of the water, and you can't jostle any of the letters.
Right. Well, no, of course you can't. You can't jostle the letters. So, you can't let the board get messed up.
I get that competitive with board games, too, which is why I don't play that many board games anymore because I totally understand that impulse. The sport I'm going to throw out there, I wanted to go with. Like my initial impulse was like track and field because Usain Bolt might be my favorite person.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And if it turned out that Usain Bolt was like on a cocktail of drugs and was ripping off people through a foundation or like just doing some horrible thing. I mean, I think that's the last part of my childhood. That's like my last little bit of sports naivete is Usain Bolt.
Yeah, next you're going to tell me that Ben Johnson was cheating.
Yeah, see, I don't believe any of it. That was like straight up huge pill anabolic steroids, like capital S steroids. He was popping pills like at the starting line. But if I found out something was up with Usain Bolt, that would bum me out. It really would.
It would.
But because he's the most charismatic of all the athletes that roll around every 4 years.
And he's one of those athletes who... It's just fun to watch his body move.
Yeah. As a physical athlete, he's amazing.
Just like it's just not the way that human bodies usually move. He's so, because he's not like a compact sprinter.
He doesn't look like any sprinter in history.
Yeah. So there's just the physics of how his body works is mind blowing.
It's like watching evolution. Yeah. Like that's the next step of human beings, that guy.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to pick that, but. If you took out Usain Bolt, I don't know how into it I would be. So the sport I'm going to go with, and I only watch it once a year, Memorial Day weekend, the lacrosse Final Four is incredible.
Yeah,
I don't think I would ever watch professional lacrosse, and I would never watch anything other than like the top level. But when it's like those blue blood schools, and it's all everybody is Bradley Cooper and Redding Crashers, you know, rich aggression. I don't like any of these guys. It's like it's a person I'm predisposed to hate.
Right.
But it's Christian Laettner.
Yeah.
The whole team.
Yes. But they're all beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
It is full contact, super intense. But really fun. And then the other angle that I like, in addition to the sport being at a very high level and just really engaging to watch, like what you don't need, there's no point of entry. You know what's going on right away. The other thing about it, though, the names, when they start reading the names of these guys, it is so, so funny. I have right up here, InsideLacrosse.com does this every year, the all lacrosse name team.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to read you some of the first team.
Could be some of my former classmates here.
We have the brothers Wellington and Shackelford Stanwyck. We have Wilkins Dismuke.
Wellington was a first name there.
Yeah. Murphy Vanderveld. Grove Stewart. We have, what do we have? Newt Krause.
F. Old Newt Krause.
Yeah. They named him after Newt Rockne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's great.
So we have... F. Hambleton Ham Sonnenfeld Jr. from Dartmouth. This is absurd. And so these guys with these names are going at each other at the height of their competitive powers. They will never be this physically gifted again. And the sport is really fun. Like, I don't know if you've ever gotten a lacrosse stick and tried to throw whatever they call the ball, when you try to throw that between stick to stick. It's a good time.
Yeah.
And I recommend it to anybody that hasn't gotten a shot to do it. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do, and it's a fun... It's like a fun kind of exercise. Like if you got that kid that has that pent up football kind of aggression, but you don't want him to play football, you could throw him into lacrosse and have him beat the crap out of a bunch of rich kids. So I'm on board with lacrosse once a year, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. It's the because we're gonna talk about football, we're gonna talk about basketball, baseball. It's like if you're talking about music and you talk about like U2 and Coldplay all the time. These guys are covered. They're doing fine.
Right.
These are like the little local bands you want to try to turn people onto. Somebody that you might only listen to like two songs from.
Right.
But you're going to really enjoy it. So that's going to do it here for this Fringe segment of Can't Wait. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about our worst opinions. Stick around.